Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows this song, sing along.
Oh yeah, anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
Bushy tails, I guess, and good evening to you, and shout out to all our listeners all over the world, as a matter of fact. And thank you for support. I noticed a couple of shows we did had more hits, you know, so people tuning in. Anyway, I hope everybody's doing well and the weather's been nicer, kind of windy, this and that. We need the rain, so the grass and hay and everything's growing out there, so the animals are getting stitchy, you know, and the birds are making nests. I like that, you know. So it looks like life is going on. Viva la stay. And, you know, we'll touch base on a couple of things. And, you know, the Washita came out with something else. We'll talk about this stuff. Now they got monkey pox. I just say Washita pox because, remember, Washita say they're part ape or they came from apes. So that's why they got monkey pox or Shichu pox. And I was going to talk about the great replacement theory. The Washita's worried that all the other cultures are going to replace them. So that's why they say that guy went over and killed all the Mahasa up other than Buffalo. And then they have the racist, like Fox News, and I'm trying to justify why he did that. And someone said they think he had a toothache, and that kind of made him flip out. Anyway, we'll talk about that, but looks like Tanshi's here. So I'm going to open the door for Tanshi. Good evening, Tanshi.
Good evening.
How are things going? How are you? Yep. And you sound pretty spiffy.
Yeah, went home and got recharged.
Oh, it must have got recharged.
Recharged my batteries.
Yeah, you lucky man, you little rascal, you.
Yeah.
Like my mom would have said, you little stinker, you. Anyway, I'll let you take off right now, okay? And
Let's see. We'll say a prayer and then we'll get into some whatever we got to get into. First of all, we'll say a prayer.
What do you think about them monkey pox?
Yeah, that's the white man disease.
Yeah. You know, they come up with stuff, and you know, it's probably true because, you know, the Washita, they're trying to, like I said, they're wicked and evil. If you dug up everything they're doing at this minute in these modern times, that'll make your blood curl, you know, because they're into everything. They got the CIA over there looking for trouble to start. They got, there's mad scientists out there looking for ways to kill people with bacteria. They got they got their white supremacist hitmen running around killing people. And, you know, like that guy shot up all those hossuppas. And when the cops showed up, they just said, put your gun down, you know. You know, I seen hossuppas like reaching for his ID and they blowed him away, you know. That Indian in Lakota Homes, remember? They was sitting home and they was eating steak. So when someone knocked at the door, he went to the answer the door, the cop or someone opened the door, the cops were standing there. He had a steak knife eating steak, so they gunned him down.
Yep.
You know?
Mm-hmm. You know that.
I mean,
here's a guy that blows, you know, some humans away, but they're black.
Yeah.
So they're lenient on him. They didn't fire at him. They begged him, you know, to give up. And he knew that the cops weren't going to do nothing to him, see? And, you know, as a matter of fact, he'll probably get all these guys, Elon Musk, all these rich white people again, pointing him and saying that it's self-defense, like Rittenhouse, you know? You know, look at what he's doing. Over.
Like that.
He's making,
remember that Dylan Roof, remember he killed all them hossuppas down in South Carolina? They invited him into church, and he waited till they all closed their eyes to pray, and he got up and blasted them when they were praying with their eyes closed. You know, and that guy, when they got him, they even bought him Burger King, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and
you know he told him he was hungry, so they drove him to Burger King first.
You know,
and
they're talking about they're all upset. You know, they said the reason why he did this is the Washitu said they got this replacement theory, the great replacement theory, where the people of color are going to outnumber them and you know, take over them. So, you know, but he could kill a thousand of them, and it's still ain't going to stop. You know, the Washitu is going to die out regardless. It's just a matter of time, you know? I mean, we ain't going to see it, but you know what? They're irrelevant now. Then you get dudes like Biden that's putting all the blacks in his
cabinet.
Administration. Yeah, I have trouble learning big words. Administration, you know. So anyway, you know. So they don't like that, you know. I mean, they're getting pretty soon, you know. But they're out there killing them, like, and they're really promoting gays and everything else. Like right now, two gays got beat up for hugging and kissing in public, you know. So they're mad. So the people, so they made news of that, you know, and. You know, they're making sure all the right people have their rights, you know? And even this guy, this killer, they're making sure he has his rights, you know? That's why they didn't gun him down. So that's what's going on out there, you know? Then they got monkey pox and they got the American system is the most violent thing you can imagine in the country, in the world. Not what am I talking about? In the world, this country
is
the most violent country in the world, and everybody got there talking about Russia supporting the poor Ukrainians. You know, they're killing too. They're bragging about it. Oh, we kill a bunch of Russians. We kill them. You know, they're bragging about it. Ain't no innocent over there. You know, and they're that Majory Green or whatever her name is, she's a real racist senator or something in Congress.
Yeah.
You know what she did? She blocked them from sending money to Ukraine.
Yeah.
Only decent thing she did, because she said they're giving them money rather than having having baby formula for the for the women. You know, these Wasichi women just need to nurse their babies. They don't need no baby formula.
Yeah.
But you know what? One of the first things the Americans bombed when they hit Iraq was a big factory where they produced baby formula. You know?
Yeah.
The Americans bombed that so the Iraqis couldn't feed their babies. You know? Anyway. Yeah. You know. But
Country, speaking of that, look what they did to us. You know, the buffalo at one time, numbered in the millions, but because it was our food source, they killed all of them. See, to make us then they took all our land, promising us all this food, whatever else. Oh, we'll take care of you. You know, you give us this land. Up to this day, they've never lived up to those lies. The meat, whatever they gave us, was rotten. It wasn't good food or anything. They're evil people because they even go after baby formula. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They make sure that these kids, they have no... See, and that's what Custer used to do. Custer was in Oklahoma, surrounded by 50,000 Cheyenne warriors. What did he do? He rode into the women and kid camp, because they used to put him in the center. Well, that's what he knew. That's how he always fought a war, was he used the women and kids. Right away, he'd go running after them. He'd capture them first because that was his protection. Indians, they knew Indians would not fire indiscriminately into women and children. They knew that.
Yeah.
So that's why he did that. And that's why he said he was one of the biggest Indian fighters, Indian killers in the world. You know, he was bragging about it. See?
Yeah.
And you know, my grandpa knew that. That's why they waited for him at the Little Bighorn. And when he came, he put a 50 cal to his chest, you know? But that's how evil these Wasichus are. These Wasichus used women
and
kids
to
kill themselves.
He tried that at Little Bighorn. You remember he went down and rolled in and started with his six guns. He started blasting women and kids. And here he ran out of bullets, you know. I mean, he only had 12 bullets. And all of a sudden, here's a bunch of Lakotas coming after him. Shit. That's why he ran and left his troops. They caught him at the top of the hill. The Wasichu says he died bravely. He died bravely. They show those movies, him firing off the six guns. He didn't even, they weren't even loaded. He didn't even have time to reload. He was hauling ass, you know. How are you going to reload crossing a river, running up a hill and all that, then get caught on the other side, you know? So that's a bunch of bullshit, making them sound brave, you know. But the government wants to do that. They want to give their people, that's how they reward them, call them brave and give them a little medal, you know, put a flag over their casket, and that's all they get for being stupid, you know? This guy here, Tennessee, he goes and kills a bunch of black people. You know, if you hate black people, why are you going to do something to end up in prison where all the black guys are? You know?
Yeah, that's pretty damn stupid, you know?
Yeah.
And,
you know?
And, you know, but he's a white boy, so like I say, they'll probably build him a little prison just for himself because he's a white boy, you know?
Yeah.
And put him in there and protect him, you know?
But just like that Richard Speck. Remember that Richard Speck?
Yeah.
He was a serial killer. But what he did, when he went to prison, the way he got out of it, he just rolled over and started giving up his behind, you know. He even had him give him those shots to grow breasts, you know?
Grow breasts.
Yeah. And that's how he survived in there, you know? He just started letting them do him, you know? And that's what ends up to all these tough Shih Tzus, you know? They end up in there and give themselves to Bubba.
Some light will go by holding his hand, you know.
You know, then they changed their name, you know. Like I knew someone there called one named Angie Dickinson, you know, one named Tiffany, one named Tiger, you know. They get sexy names and stroll the yard. But before that they was a racist, you know. But when they get in there, they suddenly change, you know, and or they try to act nice to Indians. Some of them are good at that. They act nice to Indians to hide out, you know. But you know, they quit being racist. They're only racist when they get a few numbers behind them, you know. But anyway, that's with that. Great replacement theory. You know, I got Jennifer Phillips and Layla turned on too, so you guys can jump in anytime you want, you know.
Hi, everyone.
I want to hear Layla.
Layla, come on.
What up,
Kurt? Layla. Remember that song, Layla.
We miss you. How did it go before you went?
Yeah.
How did it go for what?
I thought he went to the ceremony.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad most of you never know what it's like, what we're talking about, you know. Some people wonder where we get all our information from, you know. They don't know we're firsthand experience. You know, we can talk about anything to you. We can talk about the military. We can talk about prison. Hell, we can even talk about the damn Boy Scouts if we want, because we was in the Boy Scouts, man. And I remember when we was in the Boy Scouts, they had a perv in there. His name was Lester, a real true Lester the molester. But my brother... Yeah, he tried to hit on my little brother. My brother jumped up in front of everybody and said, "You queer, you queer." He started calling them in front of the whole Boy Scout troop, you know. You know, my brother, you know. You know.
Put him on blast.
He put him on blast right away. But who became the villains? Me and my brother, you know. We're the villains in Boy Scout, you know. You know, we didn't care, you know. We never even made Tenderfoot. You know,
you guys are the only Indians there.
She gave us sandwich.
She gave
us sandwich.
Yeah.
A sack lunch.
You know, that's pretty bad when you don't even make Tenderfoot in the Boy Scouts, you know. That's the easiest rank to get, you know. But me and my brother didn't even make Tenderfoot, you know. We didn't care. We didn't care. But they liked it because we knew how to do stuff, you know. When they went camping, you know, those little white boys would follow us because we knew all kinds of stuff, you know. One time we was rolling big boulders down the hill at the car, parked cars. we're some wild little Indians, you know. You know, next thing you know, I think they throwed us out because for some reason we ended up out of the Boy Scouts, you know. You know? We went in there and raised hell for about 6 months, and that was it.
And
you know.
They didn't want you guys no more.
Yeah, that was the first time I ever seen a color TV because the Boy Scout troop master had a color TV in his house, and we went to his house. And we watched Fred McMurray and My Three Sons in color, you know.
Wow.
You know?
That was
I know nobody
hit.
Remember. Yeah. Back in them days, you know. Remember our house, Larry? We didn't even have a TV. You guys just had a record player. It used to be blasting Johnny Cash. You know?
What the hell is that elegant name now? Cheating hard, dude.
Johnny Cash and Freddie Hart, you know. I forget some of the stuff. Yeah. I remember, and Elvis came out too, so they used to be jamming Elvis, man. I used to grab me a broom and prance across the room like Elvis, man, playing, singing all shook up, you know.
Those were the good old days, man.
Yeah, Larry even combed my hair like Elvis one day. I was all proud, you know.
Hey, it's you up, man.
Yeah. Well, there's some wild Indians back in them days. And living in California on relocation. Can you imagine that? You know?
Hey, don't you, this critical race theory that they're talking about. What the heck is that? I mean, where did that come from? It came back from, it came from slavery days. What is that? I mean, I never understood what critical race theory meant, you know, that. Because it was put there for the black people, you know, and then, you know, to me, what they're trying to do is whitewash history, all the wrongdoings that they did, using this so-called race, what they're saying, a reverse racism?
Yeah, they're trying to say we're getting rid of the white people. The blacks are going to take over. The Mexicans are taking over. All people of color are taking over, and they need to stop it. The white man says we need to stop this now. So that's why they're mad at the Democrats for being friendly to blacks and people of color, you know. But they said the Democrats are doing it just for votes, you know. The Democrats are inviting everybody just for votes, you know. But the Republicans want them to stop it because you know, they only got the Republicans have that guy Marco Rubio. Remember him? He's Cuban from Florida.
Yeah.
But if you look at him, he looks like a pure white guy. He combs his hair exactly like a white guy. He wears a suit exactly like a white guy. You know, he even talks exactly. Look at Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz.
Yep.
You know, he even thinks exactly like a white guy. You know. And these guys are supposed to be, you know what I mean? But that's what happens when you start wearing their colors, you know, you start acting like that, you know. I was telling some people about this Indian I met, you know. He is claiming he's from Cheyenne River and all that. But when I talked to him, man, he has a total accent, like he was raised in kind of in hillbilly country or something. And you know. And he said he's gonna make kabubu bread, and here it wasn't even kabubu bread, you know. I said, you know, you know.
Damn.
And then I wanted to sing some Lakota songs with him, and shit, he changed the subject. I said, damn, what's wrong with this guy, you know? You know. So what gets me is Tashi. Is we can go wherever we want, but you know, our blood and our heart is our culture, and no matter, just like no matter where we go, California, across the world, you know, no matter where I went, I never tried to act like, even in a rock and roll band, I never tried to run on stage with tiger skins and all that, you know. Yeah. Can you imagine that? If I did that, you know, and having earrings all over the place and, you know, wearing those fancy boots and, you know, hell, I always look the same. That's what I was appreciating. I remember one time my drummer got a fancy hairdo like Cher. Remember one of those curly jobs like Freddie Fender and stuff? My drummer?
Yeah.
And I said, damn, I want you to. He said, oh, my sisters did that to me. I said, but we got to go play in Sioux Falls. We went into Sioux Falls and he had his hair like that. And when we went into Sioux Falls, Rick and Ethleen, we brought women, victims of domestic violence. We brought the Keeley Radio, did live broadcasts, and then I did a rock and roll show there. I said, man, I told the audience out there, I said, we brought everybody. I said, look, I even brought Cher for you, pointed out my drummer. Because he looked all ashamed, put his head down, and the whole crowd was clapping for him and stuff, you know. And I was just teasing him, but I said, man, you know what? You know what, Donnie, man, these guys are checking your butt out, man. You know, he said, are they? Just teasing them, you know. But you see, sometimes people get involved or start doing stuff. They start trying to imitate like Indians when they start playing in rock bands. Right away they want to throw earrings in their nose and wear stupid clothes and paint their hair stupid, you know. Or just like what we're talking about. If they turn into a cop, they cut their hair off and start walking around like a cop, you know, doing crazy stuff, you know. It's crazy how people change just from who they run with. And that's critical race replacement theory, too. You know, we're getting... You know, when these white guys come over and start showing off their ugly styles, and then our Indian people are trying to imitate them, you know? And I hate to see that, you know, because Indians, you know, no matter what we do, if we dye our hair blonde, if we try to dress like them or try to act like them, we just look like a turd in the toilet, you know? One half sticking out is changes color from the one that's under the water, you know? But you're still a turd, you know? You're still a turd, you know? And, you know, it don't matter what we do, you know? We need to hold on to what we are, you know? It's like some cultures, I can spot them in a crowd. Even if they're white people, I say, yeah, that guy's a Russian, that guy's a German. You know, I can spot them in a crowd. But American white guys, boy, they have their hair combed 50 different ways, you know. They got a lot of different styles in this country, you know. They don't just have one style. They change their style. And I was talking about, remember I was telling you about some nephews of mine that with every woman they have, they change their style. There was a Lakota woman, so they was running around with braids. And then they got a cowgirl for a girlfriend, and they started wearing cowboy hats. And then they started trying to dress like veterans and wearing camouflage, you know? How? You know, man, there's only one style that's meant for us. We're stuck. You know, we end up wearing Levi's and all that. But our whatever shirt we got on, but even though I ain't going to wear them, like, you know, wear them tight.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna wear my Levi's tight, you know.
You know these suits that these people use, they put on to try to fit into these washichus. What is that all about? You know, I mean, I never could understand that. Look at how our Tunkashlas dressed, you know. Then when we dress like that, our own people make fun of us, you know. They join the washichus and they make fun of us. You know, what is that about?
Some of these Indian tribal people, you know, these councilmen, when they go to Washington, they try to wear a suit or something.
Yeah.
And one of them looks like Herman Munster and the other one looks like Pee Wee Herman, you know.
It's true.
Yeah, they don't fit them, you know. And then, you know, they don't know how to match them up anyway, you know. You know, it's kind of, you know, at least if they could match some stuff up. But, you know, these Rez Indians, when they wear a suit, man, they look pretty, like I said, it don't even match them. The best way for us to look is this raggedy ass, you know. We're looking good. You know,
that time Russell Means went to witness. Look at the way he dressed and look at all these Wachitas, the way it should, you know, that's the way it is. That's who we are, you know. And then all these guys in these suits, they look like monkeys, just like us. Look like penguins sitting around, you know.
Remember, Russell Means had more dignity than all those cats.
Yeah.
Yep. Even Dennis Banks and them, they just dressed all raggedy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But I seen a couple of these New Age AIM guys, man. They don't know which way to go as far as style goes, you know.
I look
at their photos, you know. They're done. The modern American Indian movement don't have a standard. So some of them look this way, some of them look that way. But when the original AIMsters back in the day, they all had one style. They looked like Indians. They all looked like Indians when they went down the street, you know. When you seen them, you said, those are AIMsters here. Those are Indians, man. Even if they was from the tribe on the West Coast, East Coast, no matter what, they all look like Indian. But now you look at them, some of them try to look like French guys. Some of them try to look like gangsters, you know. And some of them, you know, they all got different. Yeah, they don't know what the hell. And then they don't know nothing about culture. Singing the AIM song on the drum ain't having culture, you know. I mean, there's more to culture, to being an Indian, indigenous, than people realize it. It's the food we eat. You know, you try to give some of them some raw kidneys, man, they'll think you're crazy. You try to give them some puppy soup, they'll report your ass, you know. You know, they don't have no clue of what traditional culture is, you know. And, you know, like even try to feed them some fish or something. What is that, you know? You know, what kind of food is that? Hell, you ain't supposed to ask what kind of food it is. Just eat it. And we give it to you, eat it. You know, if we're eating it, you eat it. You know? But they do that on Vimber. Remember? Where'd Vimber go?
He stepped out for a second.
Oh, okay. That guy.
Hi, Larry.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
He had to go get a bowl of puppy soup.
Yeah.
See, that's the kind of stuff that happens when you start talking food on this show,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Amen, real quick, yeah,
no.
Philip.
No, we started putting down Indians looking like Pee Wee Herman and Herman Munster, so he went and took off them short slacks he had on, the white socks. He said, oh shit, I wore this at Walmart today. I dressed up for Walmart today. Yeah, I haven't seen some big angster taking a photo in front of a fire with red canvas back tennis shoes, thinking he's, and the guy was already in his 60s trying to look young. You know, when you're a grandpa, you're a grandpa. You know, you don't need to dress like a grandpa, but, you know, no sense in trying to look like you're a teenager anymore, right? No sense in trying to look like that anymore. But they put their ball cap on backwards, you know, and trying to look. And this guy, and these guys are in their 60s and stuff like that, trying to look like life they're young, you know. How with all that looking young, you know, if you're old, take pride in it, you know. I mean, I do. Sometimes my head's all bushy, so somebody, they want to come braid it and fix me up, you know. I say, I'm looking good, you know. You know. Are you back? Oh,
yeah.
I said, hey, Tahashi, don't get mad at me, but
yeah.
I said he left to take off his Pee Wee Herman pants, you know, since we were talking about Pee Wee Herman. He said, whoops, I still got my Pee Wee Herman pants on that I wore in Walmart today.
You know, That looks crazy now. Shit, it looks like a zinc collar, you know what I mean? Little thin legs, little body.
Yeah.
You know, hey,
yeah.
these Washichus and the way they you know, like when the Indians try to use feathers or, you know, to represent their accomplishments, these Washichus, they hate that. They hate that tradition, you know. And they have all these laws in these schools. You know, they even stopped the girl from wearing her, what do they call that? What are that cap? That cap? Because it was beaded. You know? And this is the stuff. See, they discriminate against us constantly, trying to make us, you know, fit into their society. Me, myself, I have a hard time with that, you know. And look at how they are. I don't want to be one of them.
Speaking of that, Tahashi.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, Tahashi. Speaking of that, Tahashi. Look what they do when babies are born. They take the check off and just throw it in the trash.
Yeah, yeah. No respect.
You know. You know.
Yep.
And that's a you know, we saved that. You know.
Yeah.
We saved that. You know,
even that placenta,
and
take it home. Long ago, they buried it.
Yeah,
they kept that. They kept that stuff, and you know, the afterbirth, whatever else. Then they took it and they prayed with it and they buried it because that's where that kid is from. See, wherever he's born, like back home, and they bury it and they say that kid will always go back there no matter what.
Wow.
And these Washichus, that tells you how these Washichus. They all go back to the trash pile. You know what I mean? That's what
hey,
it is.
Did you watch that? Did you watch that movie called Baghdad ER or something like that?
Huh?
When they brought in people with, they brought in wounded soldiers. Some of them, they cut their arms off and just throw it in the trash. You know, they just, you know, and I said, man, look at that. You know, they take away your culture when you join their military, you know. You ain't supposed to have your arm, your leg thrown in the trash like that, you know. There's a sacred way to discard everything. man,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Don't go to the military if you'll come back in just a little piece. They'll throw the rest of you away. You know, they have, you know, I was watching them how they do that Baghdad ER. They cut someone's arm off. They just throw it in the trash. Everything, they just, you know, they don't have a way to deal with culture because they have no culture themselves. If you're raised in the culture, you know there's a purpose. Even your hair, you know, you don't just dump your hair, you know, but they do that, you know. They go in there, sweep, cut your hair, and they just sweep it up and throw it in the trash, you know?
Yeah.
You know, one time I had a stat, one time they locked me up. So when I was locked up, I started hiding my hair. When I cleaned my brush, I started hiding my hair, man. And when I got out, I had a big bundle of hair, and I, you know, I went and prayed with it, and, you know. But I wasn't going to leave my hair, you know. But see, they don't know that. They don't know that your body is sacred. Your hair is sacred. Your fingernails are sacred. Your teeth are sacred. Everything on you is sacred. They don't know that, you know. And that's why if you're born in a hospital, they'll just take that check box all the way. If you lose your finger, they'll throw it in the trash. You know, they pull your tooth, they throw it in the trash, you know. You know, and people that hear us talking right now, people, listeners, somebody say, what are they talking about? What are you going to do with the arm? Why would you want to keep your arm, you know? You know?
Yeah.
They don't know that.
That's a part of you. You know, gave that to you for a reason. And why are you just going to throw it in the trash? And there's a proper way of taking care of it, you know? It's not, you're not using it anymore, but there's a proper way of taking care of it, disposing of it, you know? It's what the Washington's called disposing. We don't do that, see? We don't, Lakota people or Indian people, they don't do that. And I don't know how much of these Native Americans believe in that, but now they're just pure Washington, some of these guys, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
you know, we're
living
our culture.
Even these Indian nurses, a lot of them are still throwing away the check bond stuff, you know? I remember.
When you're going to have a baby, ask for all of that back. So, then, you know, you could freeze it and take it home, or, you know, you can take care of it right away if you're back home, you know? And that's the thing. There's a sacredness to that stuff because it's a birth. That's a part of your birth. You know, and what teachers don't think of that. See, they don't know stuff. They don't know nothing.
You see, if they hear us talking, Toshi, they'll think we're really savage.
You know, we probably are, you know.
Yeah.
And our Kunkka's eyes, we're not savage. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They say, the AIM show, that's a savage show. You know, that's a real savage show. You know, I ain't going on that. You know, the other Indians say, I ain't going on that show. It's a real savage show, you know. Those guys still eat dog and raw kidneys and make fun of Pee Wee Herman Pats, you know.
And they're all happy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They eat guts and they're all happy, you know.
Yeah, they're all happy.
Yeah, it's crunchy. These Washitos don't know, you know, these hot dogs. Oh, the day at the ballpark with hot dogs. Those hot dogs are just bits and bundles of animals, you know, that they grind up and don't want to throw away, so they put it in those hot dogs, you know. So these Washitos, when they condemn us for stuff like shit, they're worse than us.
Yeah, eating hot dog, ground up, whatever, you know.
Lips and buttholes, you know.
Yeah, you know. You know, just like Taniga, there's not many people in the world today that still eat Taniga, you know? And
we still do.
Yeah, well, we still do. You know, that's why I don't get mad at the Chinese when the Chinese are eating stuff. They say they're eating cat, they're eating this, they're eating that. I don't think nothing's weird, you know? They're, you know, every culture ate something, you know? They ate bats.
You know,
they, you know.
How much, you know, I don't care what they're cooking. God damn, it tastes good. You know what I mean?
Man,
so
you go down, you go to the Philippines, they sell monkey on a stick, like fried, like chicken, fried chicken. Yeah.
Yeah.
And how that stuff's good, too. And, you know,
yeah.
Wherever
yeah.
you go, there's a culture doing something that maybe you might think is gross or something like that. But, you know, we, I don't knock no other culture for what they, you know.
Yeah. Yep. That's the way they are. I might like it. You know, that's the thing. So I don't knock it. You know,
just like snake. Snake is good meat, man. I ate snake, you know.
Yeah.
I ate rattlesnake, you know. And, you know, we ate prairie dogs and no tell. I probably
that
even ate skunk. I probably even ate skunk, you know. My grandma used to cook up some good soup. No telling what was in it, you know. You know.
Well, you know. But, you know, what's look at the stuff these Washitus claim is bad, you know. Shit, they're bad. That's the thing. That's, you know. Like a lot of these guys, the lingua, they say. You know, they don't. Some of these Washitus that don't know what lingua is, then when you tell them, they go, oh, no, it's not. You know, they argue with you, you know. And yet, it's, you know, at one time, that's the excuse they used to kill all our buffalo, you know, was the tongue, you know.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden it's bad stuff. Shit, you're full of it, Washitu, you know. Yeah. You know, back in the day, it was, you know, these rich white people, that was the thing,
yeah.
Buffalo tongue, you know.
Yeah.
And they paid big money, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the excuse they used to deny the buffalo. Just one thing, and we used the whole thing, you know.
Yeah. So,
was wasted.
Huh? Who what?
Like that, you know?
Yeah, well, I tell you one thing. Can you hear me? Oh, okay. What are you talking about? Or you just felt like saying hello, huh? No.
Yeah.
Hello.
Anyway, yeah, one thing is culture. Every culture has its delicacy. And it ain't our job to go make fun of that delicacy. But American culture.
I didn't want to say what it was. My family, Wombly. The delicacy.
The American culture makes fun of. What is it?
Brains and scrambled eggs.
Yeah, well, we eat brains.
Brains and eggs. Now, it's a big deal at my grandma's house.
Yeah, that's some good
stuff.
Well,
you know what? The most best medicine there is? And people might report me for saying this, but it's puppy brains.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
The puppy brains, you know, that's a real, that's, you know, and, people, you know, like I said, the Americans want to attack everybody. You know, they make fun of Chinese for eating cats or whatever. I never had cat, but I heard that people ate mountain lion. They call it Pam steak, you know.
You know,
right on the res. I heard that, you know, and you know, you can't knock people's culture, and you can't knock what their diet is. You know, everybody has something in their own. You know, their own culture that they eat. But Americans want to make fun of everybody. They put down everybody. They go, yuck, you know, and they want to report you for eating whatever, you know. But yet, you know, I was down Iowa Beef Packers and watched them kill 187 head of cattle an hour for 18 hours a day, 6 days a week. Imagine 187 head of cattle going through there. And who's over there praying for all them cows? You know, they do that for their turkeys and their chickens. I told you, I said it here on this show, I seen them bring a truckload of chickens in to Tyson's when I was down in Tennessee, south of Nashville. And at Tyson's, they brought in big truckloads of chickens and they put them in a row where fans are blowing on them. And I ain't lying, it looked like every chicken was staring at me, man, you know. So I went and got a cigarette from this house up while she were talking, and you know, they thought I was gonna smoke it. I went over there and I started praying and singing for them chickens, you know. I felt bad for them, you know. I said, because they were looking at me, these chickens, and I said, wow. I said, you know, I even, so when I prayed, I said, you know what, I know I'm probably the only one on earth praying for your people, you know. So yeah. I hope this prayer covers your whole Oyate, yeah. You know, your whole, you know, that this prayer covers all of you for when they take you in to do that to you, you know. And because I actually pitied those chickens, you know.
Of course.
And they don't have nobody praying for them. Nobody. We pray for everything. When we go fishing, we pray. When we take a plant out of the ground, we pray.
Okay.
Yeah.
You just hold on.
Yeah, I know. I'm okay right here. Okay.
Oh, you sure?
Okay, I'm okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we're up. So we're up. But that's the kind of people we are. But yet we're the savages. You know. This is the Savage Radio Show, you know. You know, this is the Savage Radio Show, the Savage AIM Radio Show. You know, they got, you can go listen to the Elite AIM Show or the Eloquent AIM Show, where they use big, long college words, you know, where they don't eat puppy and they don't eat taniga, huh?
What's going on with the GGC? They're going after somebody for, I don't know, somebody in, from back home. I don't know what the deal is, but I've seen a post about some guy putting a restraining order on GGC and the AIM organization there in Minneapolis, some Lakota dude. I don't know what's going on.
I didn't know if that was Lakota, but they call it I seen it, a cease and desist order. But you that's what I'm talking about. Once you become a government organization, then anybody can sue you, you know?
Wow.
And you know, I thought that was a white guy doing that. I didn't know it was an Indian or what, but I was thinking, you know, what if that white guy applies to have his own AIM chapter? You know?
Yeah.
And then you can't deny them. You can't deny nobody because you're under American laws and rules, you know? So anybody can do that. That's what's wrong with the GGC. So you know, people are laughing at it, making fun of this guy or whatever. You can laugh all you want, you know? But you know what? Once you become an American organization, 501c3 or whatever you want to call it, chartered group, then you're up for grabs. You know, you're no longer a Native American. You're like in the military. It don't matter what color legs go in them shoes. You're white. once you join that. And that's why in the beginning there was a conflict over doing that, you know, with some of the old Amesters. And I still hear it today. I heard it, you know, for years. And I tried to justify and, you know, and see eye to eye with GDC and try to understand they're trying to protect the trademark and all of this stuff. But then when I started noticing how they were operating, I said, damn, you know, they're acting just like Wall Street Truth. They're telling this group you can't have an AIM group, but this group here, you can. You know, you know, this one's more Indian than this one.
Yep.
You know, there, when I started seeing that, I, you know, then I start realizing, and I knew this all the time. So, like, it don't surprise me. When people, and what if this dude does take it to court? What if he does get in the court and calls their bluff, you know, calls the GDC's bluff? Yeah. Then GDC better come out with some attorneys, and they better be legal. They better make sure their number, their trademarks, and their application with Library of Congress and all that stuff is up to date, and your dues are paid. Because if they're not, you ain't nothing, you know? So, you know,
that's what
you know, like, okay, here's a good example. We got Philip on the line. Philip got sued by another AIM chapter because there's two AIM chapters in Ohio. Philip got sued by this bogus AIM chapter, and Philip was apparently the only legitimate one, but the GGC wasn't going to defend Philip.
Oh,
yeah, that's when they did that, I said, you know, there's something wrong here.
Yeah.
If GGC is so powerful, they should have went straight into court and said, you know what? Philip's the only legitimate one here. That one's got a cease and desist, you know? But that never happened, you know? And, you know, I didn't, a lot of things, you know, brought up my flags. And I said, then when I start seeing how they operated, how they made, one of them, all of them, the ones there now, including the one that passed away, they gave them all top positions in the GDC without a vote. They just got assigned those posts. They just got assigned those posts. Oh, I like this guy because he sucks ass better than this guy. So I'm going to put this suck ass here and put that suck ass there and put this suck ass over here. And I'll keep this one here sucking ass for a little bit longer just in case we need him down the line. And then the rest of them are sitting over sucking ass hoping they get one of those spots, you know? And that's what happened, you know? And
exactly,
I don't agree with
that. That's exactly what happens. That's exactly how it goes. And if you don't suck their ass, then you get things that happen like what happened to me. I didn't suck their ass, refuse to suck their ass, and, you know, they unsanction you. You're not sanctioned anymore.
They did that
to you. Well, good. Good for you, Philip.
That's what they say, that they unsanctioned me. But you can't unsanction a chapter that had already pulled itself out of the Grand Governing Council.
You're still a chapter. Nobody can take that from you.
Yeah.
You know? Hey, I acknowledge you. Vimber acknowledge you. My brother acknowledge you. We all acknowledge you. Who don't acknowledge you? Just some guys over there sucking ass. You ain't acknowledged by the suck asses, you know?
Normally, I'm in an AIM chapter. I'm the only member, but, you know, there it is.
And Layla been there for 50 years.
Yeah. That's
You know? She been there. Yeah, Layla been there with Dennis Banks, Russell Means, you know, all of them, Leonard Peltier, all of them, you know. You know, one day somebody had nerve to ask her, you know, and you know what?
I didn't
say nothing because I know better. I know Layla's activism and how loyal she was to it and how loyal she is to it. You know, she did more stuff than the average Joe Blow or whatever you want to call him, you know. She did, you know, there's one thing I learned. It's what an old Indian told me, Tanshi. Old Indian said, if you do more than the average Indian, then you're doing good, you know. So,
you know,
like us, we're doing more than the average Indian. You know,
see, that's what I was talking about. As long as you're down with Indian causes, you're American Indian. Who can dictate that to you? See, nobody can. As long as, because you're Indian, you're taking up with Indian, you stand for Indian, and there it is. That's what American Indian movement was supposed to be. Now they, whoever these GGC or whatever. They just, I mean, they're turning Washichu. That's what it is, you know.
Just like, can they can't do a cease and desist order to the Savage AIM group, you know. what they can do, you know. You know, it's not like Facebook. You know, Facebook can dump you when they want, you know. You know, that's what GDC's like, a Facebook group, you know, where they can pick and they can argue and fight with everybody on Facebook and act tough and act like this and that. But, you know, the real Amsters are not controlled by the United States government. You know, they're not. And not controlled by any government in the world. You know, the American Indian movement was formed from bros, from people that were there to fight for injustice against our people. You know, not the injustice of their friends, just their friends, but injustice of all of the indigenous people. That's why this radio show, I call it the voice of the indigenous nation, because we're the voice for all of them, for everyone. Aztecas, Incas, Amazons, you know, wherever they're at, Canadians. Wherever they're at, you know, Eskimos, even the indigenous in Russia, I don't care. Wherever they're at, you know, the indigenous in the islands, Trinidad, Puerto Rico, wherever they're at, you know. You know.
We're all in the same boat.
Yep. And that's what, and we don't have no president, you know. You know. Who's our president? We don't have one. Who's our leader? Our leader is a spiritual man. You know, we have spiritual leaders, you know, and we have, and some of us are spiritual leaders ourselves. We carry chanupa, we pray, we do things, you know, and we walk on this earth in a spiritual way. Just because we tease around, or we might use a cuss word now and then, or, you know, or whatever, doesn't mean we're not spiritual, because we ain't carrying a Bible. We ain't walking with the Ten Commandments. We're walking the way Wakantanka put us on earth, to walk this earth. And that means to be a good person, you know. We're on this earth to be good to each other. Not pick on Indian because he's from Canada, or because he's too fat, or he's, you know, whatever, or he don't like Joe Blow, or he don't get along. Like one guy said, yeah, I don't like him because he disrespected so-and-so and so-and-so. So what? I don't care. They're not important to me. They weren't important to me. Why should I get on so? Why should I hate on somebody because they don't like this guy or that guy or that guy? You know? But these people became loyal. They became loyal to men. You know, men, when you become loyal to men like that, then you're kind of flaky. That means you kind of must got some kind of hormones. Your hormones are a little bit flipped over a little bit, you know?
But Wombly, look how
you know what?
Came
I love,
out of a sacred place, you know?
Because you can be loyal to your people. You can be loyal to your children and your family. But when you're loyal to some strange man you don't even know when you were born, some guy you met over a bowl of mush at Cracker Barrel, you know, and all of a sudden you're loyal to him and somebody called him out, so now you don't like him because he disrespected this guy and he disrespected that guy. So what? I don't care. I don't care if he disrespected you, you know. The point is, you know, we can't be that loyal. We're loyal to people we never don't even know. We just met. Now we're loyal to them. Then you must have a little bit, you must be ready to flip and flop, you know. Are you already flipped and flopped? Because I told them to their face. I said, when you guys get married since you're going public, you know. They didn't like it, you know, but I told them I didn't talk behind their back, and I'm not talking behind their back right now, because if one of them's listening, he knows I told him, you know, and they rather not listen because my words pain them, you know, and because we're for the people. We're for all the tribes, you know. Any tribe or any person can call this number right now, 657-383-1271, and we're not going to discriminate and put you off unless you start using the F word or start trying to attack us, you know, or, you know, something like that. But if you got an issue, anybody can call, you know, and that's how we are, you know. Ain't that right? Anybody calls this radio show, you know. We even had a Christian on here. I had to block him because he got too far, you know. You know, but
Christianity is a cult.
Yeah.
He got really angry too. I remember that.
Yep. They get angry, you know, but. The point is, we're here for humanity, you know? We're part of humanity, you know? We're part of humanity. We're Lakotas, Apaches, Yaquis, whatever tribe we are, we speak for the human race. We speak for the animal kingdom, you know? Those over there killing those lions in Africa are the hateful people killing bears because, you know, the bears are attacking humans. Well, get the hell off their land.
You know,
they're attacking everything that they're invasive species. They go invade the bear country and wonder why a bear wants to tear their ass up. You know, they, you know, are jumping the ocean where a great white swimming, you know, so they go hunt. They go hunting down the great white shark that ate one of them, you know. How, what the hell, that ocean belongs to the great white, you know.
Yeah.
Let them eat, let them buffet out, you know. If you know, as long as it ain't me, shit. Well, one time I was swimming out in the ocean. And some dolphins started diving by me. Man, did I start swimming to shore? I thought those were sharks. You know,
get the hell out of here.
Yeah, I said I'm good meat for them. You know, I'm a delicacy. You know. You know,
a little bit of chuckle on the side to manage the
feast. Yeah. If my brother was swimming beside me, they would say, look, there's two of them. You know?
Man, they look good.
Yeah. I'll have that one. You have that little fat one, you know?
Then we'll share.
Yeah. I'll have that one with them frog legs, you know, that has frog legs, you know.
I like frog legs, baby.
And you can have that one with the butt's still floating, you know.
You know, that's what I was telling you. Washitu's, the main thing is kill it. You know, look at what they did here. All the animals, all the, you know, plant and animal life that belongs here, got destroyed when they came around. Yeah, you know, and think about it. Look at all. Then they set aside little spaces for these animals. You know, these animals need space. They need room. You know, and then they go live on there. Then they when they get attacked, shit, they. Oh, they're, you know, those we got to kill, you know. Leave them alone, man. You know, they're only doing what they're supposed to do, you know. If you look like a good meal, you want to get in the way, then there you go. You know, be a meal, you know.
That's
just the way it goes. Leave those animals alone, you know. But they don't believe in that. Washita doesn't believe in that. Destruction.
You know what, Tashi? I won't even kill a spider. You know, I'll get a spider, I'll let it walk on some cardboard, and I'll move it, you know.
I'll put them on top. I did the same thing.
You know, I don't like killing snakes or anything, you know. I feel bad for everything, you know.
I try to get them on there, you know, just get on your way, you know. What harm are they doing? You're in their territory, you know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Washitu's don't understand that. Kill it. Everything's killed. Washitu got just killed because they said black was bad. What did you do? He got a gun and killed all those black people, see? And that's all those leaders, those Washitu's, those racist Washitu's that put that planet in that young man's head, see? They like that.
It don't matter when you're, how do you shoot somebody, especially he kills some women too. How do you go up and look them in the face and kill them just because they're black or something, you know?
That's where that Marie Nietzsche comes in, where that they have no spirit, see?
And he drove 200 miles. He drove 200 miles to go do that.
Yeah. See, to satisfy all these Washitu's that are hateful and, you know, that they're on that bandwagon. Like, to satisfy them, this guy does that. You know.
He thinks he's going to get a big medal for that, you know. But you know what? That guy, well, first of all, they don't have a death sentence in New York, but the feds do have the death sentence. So if the feds charge him, give him the death sentence, and then he'll never walk a line with nobody ever again. He'll be locked in a cell the rest of his life, you know. That's how he'll be, you know. But if he ever did get out of that, they ever drop that death sentence, and put him on a main line, he's going to be there with nothing but a lot of blacks, a lot of people of color. You know, everything he hates is right there, you know. And I don't understand why white people do that, because when you go to jail, who's in there? It's everybody they hate. You know?
Yep.
It's all the blacks, not that many Indians, but the Indians are there, and then there's Mexicans, there's Puerto Ricans, and some Asians, you know. But I seen some bad stuff happen to white guys in prison, you know. Most of them just shell out and get it out the way, you know, and change their name to Angie or whatever, you know.
Before he did that, I hope he invested in a bunch of Vaseline, you know what I mean?
Please don't talk about Vaseline on this radio show.
Petroleum jelly,
yeah. Dixie Peach, you know. That's like talent.
The Washitu, all they ever do is they destroy. They destroy. Look at everything that they do is a lie. See, and then we're getting to that stage now where lies are the truth and the truth are lies, you know.
Yeah.
Look at all these Washitu sitting in the so-called leadership roles in Washington, D.C. They consider themselves chiefs, but yet their main thing is hate. There's a bunch of them up there, all the so-called Republicans and Democrats, they're all that way, see. They're all sitting up there, you know, racist.
But you know what? It's like the Americans are defending Ukraine. They send a bunch of medics to the Ukraine to help them out, and some of them were black, and the Ukrainians got one of them out of there.
Yeah.
They didn't want no.
Yeah.
They were using the N word. They didn't want them there, you know. And the black people, okay, we'll just help them from afar, you know. How?
Yeah.
You know what does that tell you? And then that black girl that got caught hauling hash into the Russia. Now everybody's pitting her. And she's got people from the embassy went over to see her, and they're trying to do a swap to get her drug smuggling ass out of there.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Yeah.
Every country you go to, you get locked up for smuggling drugs. Any country, not just Russia.
Yeah.
You go in an airport and they scan your stuff and they find drugs, you're getting locked up. But in the American Washitu's brain, if it's Russia, it's all right. You're not a smuggler. They set you up.
Yeah.
They're just picking on you because you're American. And that girl is guilty as two left shoes, you know?
Yeah.
Because the video, you see her putting her property on that scanner and then going waiting on the other side. And they see it in the scanner, you know?
Yeah.
And they said, oh, she was set up. Well, you know, she could have been set up too, because you know what? She might have went and bragged about all her drugs to her buddies in Russia. And one day that somebody might have said, you know what? She comes back, she can be bringing some hash, you know?
Yeah.
Because she's stupid. And that shows you how much hash they have in Moscow. If they, you know, they must not have much of it for her to sneaking some in. Just buy some over there. But you see, I learned from being over there, there's a lot of them Russians don't even know what pot smells like.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of them don't even know about nothing. Yeah, but you go to Ukraine. They're into heroin, cocaine, meth, everything, because the Americans fed it to them. And that's why they're supporting the Americans, because the Americans provided them with everything they needed, drugs. You know, you give a country drugs and they'll turn on anybody for them drugs. And that's what they did. That's why you look at all them pictures of them Ukrainian guys where they all got earrings in their noses. They all got this and that. They're all in the pot. They're into every kind of drug you can think of. And they're into rape and doing all kinds of stuff. That's why the Americans supported them. But, you know, you say that, they're going to gang on you. The Americans will gang on you.
Why are you supporting Russia? You know, why are you supporting them?
You know? Hell.
Yep.
You know, it ain't got to do with that. That's got to do with right and wrong. It's got to do with humanity, you know? What's going on here, you know? But, you know, like I said, this is just the Savage AIM radio show, you know?
It's like Washington's everywhere they go, destruction. American Washington's everywhere they go, destruction, destruction.
Nothing hey, let's listen to it. Let's hear what Jennifer got to say.
All right,
hey, Jennifer.
I don't think white people can even come into ceremonies and do things right either.
They always get trouble.
We had a ceremony not too long ago last weekend, and we had raw kidney as part of the ceremony, and I passed it on to this one lady, and she tried to act like she didn't see it and pass it on, and my son told her, take some, it's medicine, but she just laughed at it and pushed it away, And I don't know, just stuff like that when I see people come in and are ceremonies.
Why do they go to a ceremony if they're going to shun part of it, you know? I agree with you.
Yeah.
You know.
I see exactly
what you're talking about, you know. And I agree.
The sponsor that had the ceremony, you can always tell when a non-native has cut up the kidney because they cut it in little teeny tiny slivers. But you see, go to Lakota, where we just keep them in big old chunks and eat them by the chunks. And
We used to eat kidneys instead of candy. We used to get kidneys when we were young. You know, when we went to the store and they came out, see, we knew we was getting kidneys. They'd open that white wrapper, whip out some salt, and man, we'd be throwing down. They were still nice and cold and fresh. You know?
Spice it up. Heck yeah.
You're right, Jennifer. And I seen them do that in ceremonies. When they pass the puppy around.
I remember one time
one of my relatives wanted to come to ceremony. And I said, nah, man, you better not go. And I'll be all right. I said, you know, you better not go because I don't want you insulting our people, you know. And he said, nah, you know. Then I said, if you go there, You're gonna have to eat puppy. I will. And sure enough, he did, you know, and been eating puppy since, you know. I was being protective of the ceremony because I know when somebody don't belong in the ceremony, even if it's another Indian, I'll say, you better not come, man, you know. You know, if they're not gonna eat, you know, it's like I was at a ceremony, Jennifer, just like you, and they pass at the end of the ceremony, they pass the stuff around, and here this young Indian girl said, "I don't eat that," you know, And it was, she was doing stuff like that. And the parents, why they bring her daughter, bring that girl there if that girl's going to be that way? You know? We're not supposed to invite people unless they're worthy of this way. We're not supposed to be giving someone an eagle feather unless he's worthy of having it. We're not supposed to, you know, that's why we don't broadcast like they say. They make people carry the Bible and go to church. We don't do that. You know, if you want to sum that, you got to go through a time period to be able to do that. And you have to be, you know, we don't go out and put signs out, come be a sun dancer here, carry a chanupa to be lakawita. You know, we don't do that. We don't invite because we don't want somebody there that don't belong there. But like you said, Jennifer, and that's a good point, what you said. They let them in these ceremonies. And they got no business in there. Yeah. You know?
They worship, you know, all the time.
Yeah.
No matter how Owashitu presents himself in these places like that, there's always controversy around that Owashitu. And that's a fact. You know, that's when they show up, when they're in these places where it's Lakota, that person is going to start trouble no matter what. And they always do. It always ends up that Washichu dude's going to create problems, bigger problems than he's worth. And it never fails. Now I could understand why Kukashla said when he saved the Sundance and all this stuff back when they was trying to outlaw it and get rid of it, when he saved it, he said that he didn't want Washichus there and only Lakotas, people with the bloodline, own these ceremonies. That's how it was back then. And yet, now we're at that stage where, you know, there's people claiming to be medicine men that ain't even Lakota. There's even Washichus now. You know, they had a Sundance somewhere up in Oregon or somewhere up there that they said there was no Indians allowed. That's how far it's come. Yeah, and they didn't want no Indians there, only Washichus, see, because they felt that they could do that too because they were being discriminated. They didn't want them in the ceremonies. So that's how disrespectful these Washichus. You know, we don't go around setting up a church and, you know, saying that we're priests and all that, you know, but yet Washichus feel that they could do this stuff. That's how disrespectful and hateful those people are, see. That's a Washington.
Remember that? Remember that James Earl Ray in Arizona? He had all Washichus coming to his sweat in there. Some of them died in there, you know? You know, that's some wild stuff there. You know, they doing it for money.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. Did he get convicted for that or what? You know?
Yeah, he got convicted. He got convicted, but because they said that the people went willingly or something like that. He only got some like 6 months suspended or something. I don't know what he didn't get. They didn't do shit to him. He's a Washichu, you know, performing an Indian ceremony. So it didn't count, I guess. You know, but he walked. The Washichu walked. You know.
Shit. If I was in there with all them Washichu and they started burning me up, I would have just stuck my head out under the tarp, the back.
I'd have made a back door.
I ain't got no shame, you know.
I even took my face in wet dirt when at the Sundance on the third day. I don't care, you know.
Yeah.
Shit. I'm gonna survive.
One time I passed by a sweat lodge and it must have been hot in there because I looked at the bottom of the sweat and I seen pairs of lips sticking out under the sweat. You know, look kind of funny.
Yeah. Put the biscuit on the bottom. They're trying to survive, you know.
Yeah,
that's the way it is.
They were all puckered up, but they were sucking some air in under the tarp, you know. Said, look at this, man. They must be having a hard time, and that ain't easy, you know. But you see, that's why I'm glad Jennifer said that, because she's right.
Yeah.
They come in these ceremonies, even Indians, and don't want to eat what's the ceremony food, the kidneys. What kind of Indian don't want to eat kidneys? Or what kind of Indian don't want to eat chunka? Or you know, if you think you're spiritual, you're going in there for spiritual help, you know, but you're mentally blocked from some spirituality or something, you know, where you don't want to participate 100%. That's why, like you said, Tanshi, it's got to be in your bloodline to do these things.
Yep.
Because if it's not, no way they're going to make you eat kidney, chunka, or anything, you know? It's like peyote. I don't go to peyote ceremonies, you know? I've been invited to many of them. But I won't go there because I know I'm not 100% in that. You know what I mean? And I'm not going to go to somebody other tribe ceremony if there's some kind of doubt in my mind what I can do or what I can't do. So I don't do that. You know, I mean, I have relatives that go to peyote ceremonies, and they invite me all the time, you know. And I won't go, and I don't take that because
I don't know too much about it.
Yeah,
that's why I stay away from.
I don't know.
You know, country. I me myself, I don't know nothing about it, so I have enough respect to stay away from it. You know, I don't do it.
Yeah,
because like you know, you have to have respect of everybody's belief and their way, their religion, or you know, like in our case, it's a way of life. See, it's not a religion. Ours is not a religion. Ours is a way of life, you know. And a lot of people say, "Well, that's religion." No, it's not. See,
and, but you know the other thing, Tanshi, is I don't know about how I would act on peyote. I might be like Jim Morrison and start getting naked and dancing around in front of everybody, you know. Don't tell them what I'm gonna do if you give me that stuff, because my brain ain't set up for that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and just like alcohol, my brain ain't set up for none of that stuff. When I used to drink, no telling what I would do, you know. I mean, if I had to pee, I'd whip it out in front of everybody and pee, you know, when I'm drunk. I'm not set up to do that stuff. My brain isn't set up for these things. And there's some drugs I thought I would never quit. But for some reason, the spirits took it all from me. And that's how I like it better, you know. And you know, I did the impossible. There's people that see me and they can't believe I'm sober or whatever, because they knew me like back in the day, you know.
Yeah.
And they can't believe it, you know, just like my brother Larry. I'm proud of him. I can't believe him sometimes. you know, I mean, I know he's sober. I seen him change, you know, and he seen me change. And we both remember what we were both like when we used to do that stuff. We were hell on wheels, like they call it, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
Every Indian is in there,
You know?
Alcohol and Indian does not mix.
Yeah, and man, no telling what we do, you know, when we're on that fire water, you know, or anything else, you know, the spirits took it from me. So check this out, Tanshi. I hear people talking about they're scared because they don't want to fall off the wagon. They're scared. But you know what? I realize when the spirits take it from you, how are you going to fall off? it's not there no more.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, when it's not there, it's not there. But if you have a problem, then you really never quit. There's something wrong with you.
Yeah. You want to constantly go back to it. You want it, see. That's the thing.
Yeah, because
you say you quit, but you constantly talk about it, and you want to go back to it. He's constantly.
Yeah.
You didn't quit.
You're counting.
You know,
you're counting your,
out of your system.
They're counting their days of sobriety. I don't count my days of sobriety. I don't even know when it started. I forgot. It's not important to me. What's important is I don't do it.
Yeah.
What's important is we don't do it. What's important is my brother don't do it. You don't do it. You know, what's important is we know each other don't do this stuff. You know, what's important is we seen us all walk away from that, you know? And how? It ain't because we're broke either. I could hustle some money and go to Kilgore right now if I want, you know? You guys can go right around the corner to the liquor store if you want. Or how? You can go down to...
I got enough aluminum cans out there for a gallon of wine right now, you know?
Yeah.
you know, that's just the way it goes. When they, you know, it's up to you. You're either going to let it go, put it aside and walk on, or you're going to, you know, constantly think about it and try to go back to it, you know? That's why people
I
fell off the wagon.
I see people on Facebook talking about how they fear, how, you know, and they're like telling, they're giving each other advice on how to stay sober. How?
Yeah.
If you don't like alcohol, you ain't going to touch it. That's what happens when you realize you don't like something, you don't mess with it no more.
Yeah.
You know, when you like something, you're not going to stop it. You know, if you like drugs, you're not going to stop it. It's just like when we used to sniff glue. We used to like it, but for some reason we quit doing it, you know. We gave that up and moved on up down the line, you know. But we quit because we don't like it. When you don't like something, you're not going to like cigarette. I don't smoke cigarettes because I don't like them. When I used to smoke, I liked them, you know.
Yeah.
You know, when
yeah.
you like something, you're not going to quit it. But when your brain kicks in, when your brain develops, that's what happened. Your brain develops. When it develops to a certain level of intelligence, it don't like something evil. You're not going to do it. You know, your brain develops to a level and says, you know what? You're not doing that no more, you know.
You don't need it in your life anymore, yeah.
You know, I'm going to, you know.
That's the side and goes on.
Yeah, your brain tells you what you do and what you don't want to do. And your brain doesn't like it. It's just like if you eat some food that you don't like, pretty soon you ain't going to touch it no more, you know. You know, anything you do in life, if you don't like it, you ain't going to do it, you know. But if you like it, if you like it, that means you're one step away from rolling back over there, you know? But when your brain develops and matures and it's your brain says, you know what? No more of this stuff. No more of that evil. That's evil. You know, the spirits start coming back in your life. The spirits, you know, take that stuff from you. When you get rid of evil, then the good spirits start coming back, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there was a time when me and Larry only had half a spirit each, you know?
I think all of us went through that. Don't you that? You know, I mean, it's just, we outgrew it. You know what I mean?
It wasn't for us, and we knew it. We had to let it go, you know. And then, that's the thing, you know. There's a better way, and like I was saying, this, you know, the elders always tell us this, or Tukaslas tell us this. Prayer is what you got. That's what's yours. The Tukaslas are there. That's what they tell us, you know. And that's a way of life.
And hey, Tanashi, what was the greatest high you can recall? You know what mine was? The greatest high that I loved more than anything was after 4 days of Sundance, no food, no water, and crawling out of that last sweat. And going and getting water and being so pure, that was the greatest high I ever had when I come out of Sundance and get to eat and feel like heaven is within me, you know, because I'm pure. I fasted. I got rid of all the smut that grew on my, you know, all year long, because all year long, when, you know, we live in a world where we're bumping evil every day, all day long, you know. And now they got the monkey pox, you know. They got all kinds of stuff we're always having to dodge, you know.
You know? Monkey pox. That's Washitu disease, because, you know, they believe they come from monkeys, so there it is, you know.
Yeah, and see,
I'm pretty damn cool.
When we come out of that last sweat, when we go over there and see our relatives running to us with Gatorade, water, bananas, watermelons, that's heaven. You know what I mean? That's the greatest high on earth. That's like the greatest fix on earth when you come out from you know. And man, you feel good for days and weeks after that, man. You know, you're still hearing those drum songs in your ears all day long, all night long. You know, you know, it takes weeks for that to go away from you. That's when you're high as a kite, when you're on cloud nine, and nobody can have that.
Yeah.
Nobody can have that unless they experience it, you know. Man, there was times when I seen you, Tanashi, with your eyes rolled back. You didn't have no pupils no more, just whites.
Yeah.
And I said, damn, look at Tanashi. Where the hell's he at? He's in the spirit world right now, you know. Then all of a sudden, at the last day, I see you over there smashing watermelon down your jaw and fried chicken and taniga, you know.
It's that feeling. That's one of the greatest feelings on earth, actually. It is. I know what you mean, you know.
That's
and
better than any
you.
fix of heroin, any joint, any LSD, any damn thing, you know. And
I have to agree.
Even Humblecha, even when you go Humblecha, when you're up there and the spirits come to you, when you're not high, when you're not drunk, but they're there, you know. And the spirits come to you when they're how about when they're hanging you from the tree and they pull you way up there, and all of a sudden everything disappears and the wind's blowing and it's like you're up there for an hour and you're looking around and all you see is beauty. You don't even see cars in the parking lot no more. You don't see nothing. All you see, you know. And next thing you know, Yami and them are yanking you back to reality, you know.
Bringing you back into reality, and you're saying no, but
You got to come back. Yeah. You know, you're saying no, but they're saying yeah, pulling you back in. You know?
But you're not. You're not high. You're not under the influence of nothing. But when you go up there, when they hang you, you look out, and that's the most beautiful trip you can imagine, you know.
Yeah.
The best high on earth, you know.
Man,
and then, you know,
you don't even feel no pain.
You don't feel no pain or nothing. You're like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, and...
It's hard to explain to people that, you know, unless you experience it, it's really hard to explain to people those things, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's the
thing, you know what? The biggest thing with Sundance, what people think is the piercing. They think piercing is the hardest thing. But, you know, that ain't even nothing
high
compared to the whole Sundance. The
oh,
whole
oh,
Sundance.
Yeah.
You know, you can't describe
high
that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You can't. Even the colors change. The color of the sky changes. The color of everything changes. You know, and when you crawl out of that sweat lodge on the fourth day, and you see people running at you with water and pears and grapes and watermelons and burgers and chicken and taniga, man, that's like the unbelievable. You're sitting there on that chair with no shirt on, just a towel wrapped around, and people are feeding you, and they're honoring you for what the hell you did, you know?
Yeah.
You know? And you're sitting there just feeling so pure, you know? So pure and beautiful inside, you know? Like a new, fresh-born baby, you know?
Yeah, you just got things done, you know what I mean? You just entered the world
there
again. You know?
Yeah, you sit there and you go, ada, you know, like a baby.
Yeah.
Goo goo.
Wombly, I talked to you 1 year after you just been to Sundance. You were just transformed. You were transcendental. I mean, you were really something, just so deep and so pure and so fresh too. Not like heavy spiritual, beautiful.
Hey, that's when I was moonwalking. You know, better than Michael Jackson, you know. You know, but Jennifer, I'll get back to Jennifer again, kind of cut her off. She was talking about the ceremony, you know.
Well, to add on to what you guys are talking about, I don't keep track. Excuse me. I don't keep track of how many decades I have of sobriety either. I don't even know the month of when I quit or anything like that. I've written about this to somebody local here. She was celebrating 30-something years, and I said, well, I just express myself to say that, you know, you're back to a natural state. We were born sober. And I said that's just, I could tell you how stupid I was for a few years, you know, my college years. I could tell you that much, but even if that was short-lived, and I said, why are we so focused on sobriety when that's the way our ancestors were naturally before all this colonization and corrupting us with their alcohol? And that's what we should be focused on, is that we're back to our natural state of what we were born of, having purity like that, of clear of drugs and alcohol.
You know, Jennifer, one of my grandpas died from alcoholic. He froze to death. But my grandma, his wife, she never had alcohol in her entire life. You know? Can you imagine that? There was people that back then that never even knew what getting drunk was about, you know?
Yep.
You know?
Exactly.
And a lot, mostly women, too. And nowadays, look at women. You even on Facebook, you see them taking picture with a can of Coors or you know, and they're showing off. And you hear them talking about smoking a doob. They wonder why their cars broke down and all that. They don't take it when you're high on, when you're using drugs and getting drunk, you don't take care of your car no more, you know? And, but yet they playing off Indian, but their cars broke. But I picked up on some of them bragging the people about smoking, you know, smoking doobs or had a drink, you know, and, you know, when you live that life, you can't control what's around you. When you live that life, you're irresponsible, you know. And me, I never broke down, but I make sure my oil's checked. I make sure my tires are good before I take off, you know. And if my battery ain't working right, I take off the cables and clean them up, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, but people, it's time to go already. I hate to say that, but I hope you all, you know, we don't even have time for this and that, but I really thank all of you for tuning in. And thank you, Bimber, and thank you, my brother, and Philip, Layla, everybody, and Jennifer, you know. And I appreciate Jennifer saying, you know, I agree with her when she says she don't even remember what day she quit all that stuff. And that's how all of us are, you know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
I remember I took my brother Larry and my other brother Freddie fishing with me while they were had a hangover. they wanted to go find one more beer so they could get take off that hangover, but they ended up with me and I took them out fishing. Boy, you should have seen their bore. You should have seen their boring ass out there throwing a fishing line out. You know, that was so boring. Larry even fell in. He was walking back, flip flop. His shoes were squishing. You know, from walking. Remember that, Larry? now he's sober. Anyway, Tasha, you could give us a prayer out, and we got to go, everybody. Doksha, everybody, we gotta go. Okay?
Doksha, okay.
Well, you know, and you guys all have a great evening.
Back to me.
Wow.
She died. died last week outside of Fargo. Victim of her country's apathy. No, no more fighting for me, mother. No more suffering to be done. No, no more pain and no more sorrow. Don't you know that you have won? Yeah, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles to go home. And through the never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. Yeah, hey, 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 hey. Ooh, 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 ooh. Oh, oh, oh. The never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. Though they never let me know you, still, you mean so much to me. Now, I wish that I could show you all the love you're never gonna see. No, no more fighting for me, mother. No more suffering to be done. Never-ending rain, I'll bring you.